The following is paid commercial programming. Third-party rankings are no guarantee of future investment success. Working with a highly rated advisor does not ensure that a client or prospective client will experience a high level of performance. Investment performance is not an explicit criterion because clients' investment goals differ. These ratings should not be construed as an endorsement of the advisor by any client. Generally, rankings are based on information prepared and submitted by the advisor. Statements saying that we told our clients to be out of the market in 2008 refer to recommendations made by MMWKM's principals while employed at Eagle Strategies LLC. The team that manages accounts at MMWKM are the same individuals with that responsibility at Eagle Strategies and at Cambridge Research from 2009 to 2011. MMWKM was created in 2011 and uses the same exit strategy. A more thorough disclosure of the criteria used in making these rankings is available by contacting MMWKM Advisors LLC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Money Matters. And here's your host, Ken Moray.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money.
We are in the money. The skies are sunny. An old man recession. You are through. You have done us wrong. Well, hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. And this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of personal finances, retirement planning. We talk about the stock market. We talk about Social Security. We talk about estate planning, income taxes. You name it, we talk about it. And we try to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all of this boring financial stuff. And this week, we have a ton of boring financial stuff to talk about. But before we go one step further, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Morafe. I'm a senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America. Thank you, Jack. And I've been a certified financial planner professional now for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years.
I feel good.
Yes, I do. And all the ideas we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And we work primarily with people who are over the age of 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that is you, we'd love to meet you and see if we can help you. This show is designed for you, so hopefully it will help you. We are here to serve. And so let me go over with you what we're going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of retirement planning. So first of all, want to go over with you the excitement that we have had this last week. In case you didn't notice, the month of October got started on a really bad note. In 2 days, we had an 800-plus point drop in the Dow and manufacturing and all that kind of stuff. I want to talk with you about that. But more importantly, what does history tell us that the market does, tends to do, when it has an awful start to October? Okay, and many times, if you learn from history, it can help you to make better decisions about what's going on right now. So we'll help you with that as well.
Now we have a big show for you tonight.
We do indeed. That's Ed Sullivan. I bet half the audience listening to this show right now, Jack, doesn't know who Ed Sullivan was. Anyway, seven tips we're going to talk about. Seven types, should I say, of risk retirees take with their investments. Seven. Now, you know, a lot of most shows, what they would do is they'd give you like five. We're going to give you seven. The full Monty, ladies and gentlemen, seven types of risk that retirees take. But more importantly, we're going to talk about how to mitigate those risks. Okay, that's the important thing. Now, also, we're going to talk this week about social security strategies for widows and widowers. And we've been kind of on that theme here for the last few weeks. And so if you'd like to send me a question with regard to Social Security, you can do that. And I'll endeavor to read it on the air. And my email address is ken@rpoa.com. That's retirementplannersofamerica.com. So ken@rpoa.com. And if you send me your questions, I will do my best to answer those for you. This week, we've got two really good questions. I don't know if we'll get to both of them, but they're illustrative of how incredibly adept our government is at creating complexity that is beyond the human brain to absorb. I mean, it's like mind-blowing, mind-numbingly, blowingly complex. Now, Also, since we are retirement planners, we talk about income during your retirement with clients a lot. We talk about those kind of things. And I want to go over with you why the 4% rule could be flawed. All right. Now, the 4% rule, as you may know, is that if you have a diversified portfolio and you take 4% out, your money should last you the rest of your life. And that's what's commonly known as the 4% rule. But I want to go over with you why that rule is so dangerous if you don't have an appropriate diversification and protection strategy, in my view. Okay, so we'll talk about that. Now, most shows, Jack, would actually stop right there. I mean, think about all that content. Think of all the great info. Most shows would say, if we did just that, we've done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show.
Somebody stop me!
But on this show, do we stop right there? Of course we don't. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before, and therefore at about 10 till, we're going to have our estate tip of the week. This is when we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. This week we're going to talk actually about glossary terms. Okay, we're going to go through the dictionary, and we're going to talk about terms that you may have heard and wondered what they meant. Okay, so for example, intestate, grantor, trustee, per stirpes. Ooh, that sounds dangerous. Per capita. Okay, so we're going to go through and have some fun educating you, enlightening you on the terms of estate planning.
That ought to keep the little squirts happy.
Yes, and we want happy squirts. So, but before we go into all of that, I just want to, you know, something that's kind of interesting that I've discovered as I've advanced through the years. You know, back in my 20s, you wanted to get in shape for like tennis tournaments and all that kind of, so you'd work hard. Right? The harder you pushed yourself, the more fit you became and the better you became. I mean, you'd go out there and you'd work yourself to exhaustion, and that's how you got better. Well, as you advance over time, what I've discovered is that the harder you work on your fitness and your strength, the worse you'll feel when you're on the tennis court. It's like this reverse thing. The harder you work, the worse you'll play because you'll ache all over the place. So I'm on a team that's headed to play at Nationals, and so I wanted to get all fit and ready. So I've been like doing all these leg exercises, and I've been strengthening and working on my fitness. And man, I feel like I'm 900 years old, going up and down stairs, getting out of a chair. Oh my! And I don't want to load up on ibuprofen either. So anyway, just an observation. That's all. So let's talk about the beginning of October, and this has been, you know, one of the ugliest starts to an October, right? We had a 1% drop followed by another, 1.6% drop. The Dow went down over 800 points in the first 2 days, and all this angst. So what was going on? What's that all about? Well, first of all, we got news that the European manufacturing sector is practically, in many countries, is in recession, and in others is on the verge of it. So it's slowing way down in Europe. And it appears to have circled the globe because we saw the worst numbers in manufacturing in our country in the last 10 years. And that's according to Bloomberg. So that kind of got everybody's attention, you know, that, oh, manufacturing is not doing well. Now, just to put things in perspective, manufacturing is not as important to our economy as it used to be. I mean, there was a time when, you know, manufacturing was where most jobs were. Now, jobs are in technology, in the service sector. I mean, that's where most of the jobs are. So manufacturing is not front and center like it used to be. So it's a bit of an overreaction, in my opinion, to get all bent out of shape about the manufacturing side. But nevertheless, the numbers came in worst in 10 years. Then the next day, we had ADP come out and tell us that the jobs numbers were worse than expected. And that fed into the whole narrative of, oh my gosh, we're headed for a recession. Things are turning. It's becoming terrible. And so we saw the big drop in on the second. So what is it? What do we take from all of that? Well, the first thing we take from it is that it is possible. I'm not discounting completely the notion that we could be headed into a recession and we could have a bear market that goes with it and all of that. I don't discount that. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about why, what we do about that. But I also want to look at history to give me a little context and a little perspective. And if you look at the last 14 times that October has started with a down of 1% or more, in all 14 of those times, and this is according to analysts at Bespoke Investments, all 14 times, the S&P, the stock market, was up in that month an average of 3.75%. So yes, it went way down, but then it recovered and ended up 3.75%. But what's even more interesting is that in all 14 of those times, the average gain from October 1st through the end of the year was 7.2% in the stock market, which I use as the S&P 500 index. So that's a pretty strong rally after that drop and then building, because if it went down 1% and was up 7, it means the total was 8, right? So history tells us, and of course, history doesn't guarantee anything, right? The future is not guaranteed, but it does give us perspective that this has happened before, and we have seen the S&P recover and do quite well. So the one mitigating factor on top of that is the inversion of the yield curve, which happened a month ago or so. And that has been a very accurate predictor of bear markets and recessions. But usually those happen a year after the inversion of the yield curve. So for all of the above, we believe that right now, despite all the excitement and the volatility, that we are headed for a recession, don't get me wrong, but it won't hit us for several more months. And in the meantime, we see the S&P, the market, go up pretty nicely between now and when that recession happens. So are we invested right now? We are not near our sell signal. And as you guys know, our sell signal was triggered in November of 2007, and it told us to tell all of our clients and those of you listening to the show to get out of the equities and the stock markets. And those that followed our advice didn't lose money in 2008 in equities if you weren't in them, right? Just stands to reason. And so right now we're not there yet. However, we do have our strategy in place. It is there because there will be a time when it is time, we believe, to get out. And if you are retired or you're retiring soon, and I'll talk more about this later on in the show. But if you are retired or retiring soon, we believe that the three worst enemies to your financial well-being are inflation, taxes, and bear markets. And bear markets are the worst. And they can suddenly take a lot of your money away, and it can cause you to not be able to retire. They could cause you to have to unretire or to cut way back on your standard of living during your retirement. So here's what I want you to do. Go to our website. It's rpoa.com. And when you're there, you can sign up for our webinar. We have a webinar there that you can watch. You can go to a live seminar if you wish. You can click on meeting with one of our retirement planners to build a retirement plan for you. Everything there is at no charge or obligation. We'd love to help you if we can. So our website is rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 7 types of risks that retirees take. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. And we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. And we are the bonanza of the airwaves. We share with you the golden nuggets of financial information, retirement planning. I am a certified financial planner professional. I've been so for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And our firm is called Retirement Planners of America, and we serve over 8,000 families in 43 states, and we're happy to do so. And so if you are over 50, retired, or retiring soon, we'd love to meet you and see if we can help you as well. Our website is rpoa.com, which is retirementplannersofamerica.com. And so I want to talk with you now about the 7 types of risk that retirees take. And should I say 7 of the risks that retirees take? There's probably others that I am not going to mention, but these are the main ones in my view.
Oh, I'm so scared.
And you should be. But the point being that if you know, it's kind of like in sports or in war or anything, if you know your enemy well, then you can plan for that and you can have a better chance of being successful, in my view. So let's talk about these 7 types of investment risks. So the first one, and as I go through these, think to yourself, you know, that you need to be, you should diversify
against these risks. Okay, so I should restate the title of this as seven risks that you should diversify against. How about that? So first one is capital risk. So this is the actual one that most people think of when they think of risk, and that is, I'm going to lose my money, right? That's capital risk. You lost your capital. And so that one, how do you mitigate or reduce that one? Well, in most cases, the way to do it is to diversify. Don't have all your eggs in one basket. And so therefore, you might help with capital risk. The next one is inflation risk. And this is one of the three worst enemies in our view to your financial well-being. And that's the erosion over time of your purchasing power. And so you need to, you should have in your portfolio investments that do well during inflationary times. And in most cases, equities tend to be that tool. So you look at inflation. The next thing is interest rate risk. And of course, that's when interest rates drop and investments that you bought now come up for renewal and the interest rate is lower than it was before. I've been doing this long enough that I remember clients and prospective clients who had bonds that they bought back in the 80s where they had 16% interest on those things for 20 years or whatever it was. And then all of a sudden they were renewing and they were down at like 3%. And they were like crying in their soup because it's like, oh, I was getting 16 and now I'm only going to get 3. The next one is market risk. And what that means is, as you might think, it's that the market that you're invested in goes down and you have that kind of risk. Again, this one, diversification, is not necessarily the eliminator of the risk, but should help to mitigate it. The next risk is liquidity risk. So a lot of people, again, I'm dating myself, but back in the 80s, there were all these real estate investments that people were investing in because they had all these wonderful tax benefits and this and that. And then Congress changed the laws and made those things not so wonderful anymore, but you couldn't get out of them. And so you're stuck. Okay, and that's called liquidity risk. You can't get your money out and turn it into liquid money to be able to do stuff. So that one, in our view, the way you address that one is you have an emergency fund that you have money that you can live on for a while if you have other illiquid assets. Okay, now the next one is legislative risk, which is what I was just describing, where the Congress, our Congress, in its infinite wisdom, decides to change the laws. And the thing that you thought was so great suddenly isn't, or they make it, they increase taxes, or they do something that causes the investment that you thought was so great not to be so great. Okay, so you have to take into account legislative risk. And then number seven is default risk. And this is where the investor, you decide to invest in some company or you buy a bond and it goes out of business. And now your investment is not worth anything anymore. And that's called default risk. So our view is that when you design your retirement portfolio, this portfolio needs to take into account all seven of those risks.
Fascinating.
And oh, Mr. Spock, it's also very logical, I have to say. And in our view, having a portfolio, an investment strategy that addresses all seven of those risks will help you to not have one of those risks be the one that hurts you, right? That's kind of what we want to do. And to think about when you are retired, actually at any time, when you invest, we believe you are in the risk business. The only way that you can get a higher return than burying it in the backyard in a box is if you actually are taking risk. When you get interest, Ray, if somebody's going to pay you an interest, you have to put the money at risk. There's no way to get a return or interest without some risk associated with that. So you're always, if you're investing, in the risk business. And so when you retire, risk is your worst enemy, in our view. When you're younger, risk may be your friend. You got a long time, you can be more aggressive, you got things, you can overcome it, you're working, you have your wages, all those good things are happening, and that's wonderful. But once you retire, now, if you're living on your money and Social Security, now risk becomes your enemy in our view.
There's no doubt about it.
I believe there's no doubt. And therefore, having an investment strategy, a portfolio strategy, a game plan that addresses all those things, we believe is very important. So if you'd like, what you can do is you can go to our website. It's rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. And while you're there, we have videos, we have podcasts, we have articles, all kinds of information on a variety of topics that have to do with retirement planning, such as when should you take your Social Security benefits, reducing your income taxes, required minimum distributions when you're 70 and a half. We have estate planning ideas on how to leave your money to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs. We also, we talk about best ways to fight inflation. We talk about our buy, hold, and protect strategy, our strategy to get out of equities when we believe risk has become too great. So we have all kinds of information on there. If you're over 50, retired, or retiring soon, that I believe will help you to have knowledge and make better decisions. Now, while you're there, we also have resources that you can take advantage of. If you'd like, you can click on Meet with an Advisor, in which case we'll schedule a time to visit, and we'll help you build a retirement plan, and we'll do it at no charge or obligation. And if you like what you see and you want to work with us, that's fantastic. And if you don't, that's fine too. There's no charge or obligation, and we will part friends.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
And Bogey is right. I think it is too. Now, also, we have webinars on there on a variety of topics that I think you'll find interesting. We also have podcasts of this show if you want to re-listen to stuff. And you can sign up for one of our seminars. We have live seminars, and as I said, we have webinars. So your choice is there. So tons of stuff at rpoa.com. And so we'll look forward to getting to meet with you. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some Social Security strategies. And so stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And, of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. And, you know, diamonds may be a girl's best friend, but I believe that good financial planning, retirement planning ideas will serve you far better. And so we're back, and I'm glad you're with us. I hope you're having an absolutely fantastic weekend. I hope everything is coming up roses for you. Let me introduce myself before we go a step further. I am the host, Ken Morafe. I've been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients.
Wow!
Yes, indeed. And since we specialize in retirement planning. We work primarily with people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. And actually now for the eighth year in a row, eight consecutive years, Barron's has named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors. And without our clients, I'd be nowhere. So as proud of that designation as I am, I know which side of the toast my butter is on. And so all you clients, thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Yes. So let's talk about Social Security here in this segment. And if you have questions about Social Security, send them to me. I'll endeavor to answer them on the air. And my email address is ken@rpoa.com. And I'll endeavor to answer the question. If I can't, I won't use it on the air. That's all there is to it. So don't send me questions that are too complicated. All right. So here's the first one I got here.
Sorry about this. I know it's a bit silly.
It is silly, but if you send me one I can't answer, what am I going to do? Not answer it? And then everybody's going to think I'm a dummy, right? I got to sound smart. I'm on the radio, Jack. Anyway, so first question here is, I am 63 years old and widowed. My intent was to collect on my husband's Social Security when I reach the age of 66. I am currently working part-time and letting my benefits increase until I'm 70, and the benefits are going to increase by 8% each year, at which point I would claim my benefit at age 70, okay? And that's actually a pretty good strategy. So by doing this, my benefit will increase approximately by $700 per month. Wow, that's awesome. Good. I like it so far. Since I turned 62 before the end of 2015, my understanding is that I could file a restricted application for my spousal benefit when I turn 66 and continue to grow my benefit until I'm 70. Am I correct in that? All right, well, you are doing really well until that last part, okay? So the part about the restricted application, you are not affected by those rules because you're filing as a survivor benefit. And that's completely different. It's not a spousal benefit. It's a survivor benefit. Okay, so that's a distinction. So you can still claim your survivor benefit at 66 and then switch to your own at 70 if it is higher. Okay, so that is a good strategy. I think that's one that you should think about. All right, this next one here may be too long for me to get to in the time I have left. Darn it, I'll try to go quickly. So I'm 63 and have cancer. Oh my. If I collect Social Security at 63 and my non-working wife collects her benefits at 62, how will the survivor benefit be affected once I die? Okay, so there. Let me answer that question. There are two components to the survivor benefit. Okay, the original benefit is set when you die. So it is your benefit, or if you claimed early benefit, your reduced benefit that that will be counted as the original benefit. Your wife's benefit will be set when she claims it. So if she claims at 60, it will be 71.5% of the original benefit, and you know there's the discounting in that. So in order to maximize the original benefit, you should not claim your benefit at 63. Don't do that. You should delay as long as possible, even if you were to pass away before claiming, okay? This will give your wife the highest possible survivor benefit, and then to maximize it from her side, she should file for survivor benefit when she turns 66 or later, okay? Now, I tried to go through that slowly, but I bet you just got your brain blown out of your head, dear listener, okay? As I said at the top of this show, our government has an amazing, they have this capacity of creating complexity that I marvel at. They should get the Olympic gold medal for complexity. And so Medicare, Social Security, all these kind of things, you have to, you know, these decisions need to be made with knowledge and information, okay? Don't make these decisions in a vacuum. I saw the Social Security Administration itself said that 80% of the people that file Medicare for Medicare during their enrollment, which is coming up here soon, do it incorrectly. 80%. They're leaving money on the table. They're making bad decisions. They don't know what they're doing. What I would suggest is talk to somebody that can help you, guide you through all this stuff, okay? So what I would suggest then, all of our retirement planners, our advisors, they have taken an in-depth training program through Social Security and Medicare, which is coming up soon, and they, I think, can help you with making those kinds of decisions. So what I'd like you to do is go to our website. It's rpoa.com, and you'll find a link there that says meet with an advisor, or you can go to one of our seminars if you'd like, and we have seminars on Social Security. We have seminars on Medicare coming up. You can meet with an advisor who can walk you through and help you with all that kind of stuff. We would love to have the opportunity to see if we can be of benefit to you, all at no charge or obligation. So our website is rpoa.com, rpoa.com.
Oh, thank you, Master.
Well, you're welcome, Jeannie. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, what are we going to talk about? Let me see here. We're going to talk about why the 4% rule could be flawed. Oh, no, not that. Stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I am Senior Retirement Planner at Retirement Planners of America, and I've been a certified financial planner professional now for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And since we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning, our clients are mostly people that are over 50, retired, retiring soon. And if that is you, this show is designed for you. Our website is rpoa.com, and it is also designed for you. And so is our entire financial planning firm designed to help you. So if you...
To hear you say that makes me love you, baby.
Wow. Well, I love you back. And so all of the ideas that we talk here, these are the same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients, as I said, and we're so thankful. And you know, Financial Times now, for the third time, has named our financial advisory firm one of the top 300 registered investment advisors, and that designation is something we're very proud of, but without our clients, we'd be nowhere. So all you clients, thank you so very much. Now, one of the things that is very important, in my view, is your retirement income. Right? Because the income that you get is most likely going to be what's going to support your lifestyle that you want to have during your retirement. And historically, what we've seen is there's a rule. It's called the 4% rule. And I want to talk with you about that. So the 4% rule is where, and my favorite number, for those of you who've listened to the show for the last 24 years, oh my gosh, I can't believe, I'm 24 years old. I can't have been doing this show for 24 years. It's not possible. But anyway, the 4% rule is, and again, using my favorite number, which is $1 million. Okay, so let's say you have $1 million. So the 4% rule says that you take 4% of that $1 million, which would be $40,000, and that's what you can take from your investments. And if you're diversified in a 60-40 portfolio, 60 stock, 40 bond, you take 4% out. That rule says that you should have a very low probability of running out of money during your lifetime. Okay, which sounds great, right? Pretty simple, 60-40, 4%, you're done. Well, the problem with that is that it ain't so, in my opinion, okay? And I believe it's only partially so, all right? I do think the 4% rule could be what you use, but I'll tell you why I think without an additional step, it is flawed. Let's say, once again, that we start with $1 million, okay? So you got $1 million. And you're going to get that 4%, so you're going to get that $40,000 of income from your investments to go and do your stuff. Now, let's say that a bear market comes along, and let's put it on the order of Y2K or 2008, which the S&P went down, 57% in 2008, or the technology stocks in Y2K went down 90%, many of them. And so there are lots of people that suffered mightily in those two bear markets. But let's just say, for sake of conversation, that you experience a 50% loss, okay, in a bear market.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, as Arnold just said. So what happens, therefore, is that your $1 million just became $500,000. Okay? Now, you were taking $40,000 out when you had $1 million. So you're going to keep doing it, right? I mean, you were taking 40, you're going to continue on the 40. That's your lifestyle. It's cost of living. You're spending that. But the problem is this. If you take the $40,000 out and you have $500,000 left, you're not taking 4% anymore. Now you're taking 8%. And, I mean, it's possible to make 8% in your investments. It's been done. But I wouldn't bet my future retirement on making 8% on my money from now on to cover my lifestyle. Okay? That's a big if. And it's risky. Because at 8%, if you don't make that much, then you're shrinking your value, and you'll run out of money if you keep shrinking your value and eventually it runs out. So the answer would be, if your investments were to drop from $1 million to $500,000, 4% of that is now $20,000. So now you got to take $20,000 out and live on. So that would be akin, you can look that word up, Jack, akin to you are at work, your boss calls you into the office and says, you know what, you're a valued employee, I don't want to fire you, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut your wage in half. You were making $40,000 before, you're going to make $20,000 going forward. And so you go home and you're thinking, all right, how am I going to cut half my lifestyle? How am I going to do that? And it's difficult. I hope you're able to do it if you're fortunate enough to be able to. But most people would not be able to cut their income in half and be able to get by. It would cause a terrible disruption in their life.
There's no doubt about it.
I believe there is no doubt. So that's why the 4% rule is right from the standpoint that you'd have to drop to the 20,000, right, if your investments went from $1 million to 500. So from that perspective, it's right. But in the real world that we live in, for you to cut your standard of living in half, after 2 or 3 months is really, I don't know how realistic that really is. So what I believe you should do, if you are retired or retiring soon, you're within 5 years of retirement or you're in that 5 years after, that 10-year period there, what I believe you should do is you should have a buy, hold, and protect strategy. What I mean by that is, yes, you should buy your investments. Yes, you should hold them and let them do what they're going to do. But at the same time, you need to have a time when you say, you know what, I'm getting out, hopefully before you lose the 50%, and that causes you to have to cut your lifestyle in half or whatever. Okay, so our buy, hold, and protect strategy told us to tell our clients to get out of all equities in November of 2007, out of the stock markets, and those that followed our advice were out during 2008 when the S&P and the Dow had that terrible, terrible time during the credit crisis.
So, I don't know how to say I thank you, except I thank you.
Well, Frankie, you're welcome. So that's what I would encourage you to do. Yes, 4%, believer in that. Yes, diversification, believer in that. But on top of it, don't, in our view, don't just buy and hold, buy, hold, and protect your retirement, okay? Now, if all of that resonates with you, if you think that may, there's some logic to that conversation I just had, then go to our website. It's rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. And while you're there, we have videos and articles and podcasts about our buy, hold, and protect strategy. But more importantly, you can watch webinars. You can sign up for a live seminar. You could also come and come in and visit with one of our retirement planners to help you build your retirement plan. And we'll do all of the above at no charge or obligation. And if we can help you, that is just fantastic. And if we can't, we're going to tell you that too. So either way, rpoa.com is our website. Okay, so we'll look forward to meeting you. Now, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I have been a certified financial planner professional now for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. Our firm is Retirement Planners of America. And so therefore, our clients are primarily people who are within 5 years of retirement or 5 years in. So if you're in that decade, that 10-year period, we'd love to meet you, see if we can help you. We'd love that. And our website is rpoa.com. And lots of info on there about retirement planning that you can read about, watch, or listen to. This is the segment of the show where we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor, okay? And I mean that sincerely. You know, it's funny because every once in a while, somebody thinks I'm not kidding about what I just said. They think I'm being serious. And I get email that says, hey, my heirs are not greedy, unwashed, or undeserving. And I'm like, okay, they're not. If it helps you to sleep at night, that's fine. All right, now, so this week, what I want to do with you is have some fun. We're going to learn some words, okay? So we're going to go through the glossary of estate planning terms, not the whole thing, but some of them, and we'll go through that. But first, Jack, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
And of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches. And you know, the estate taxes and probate and all that kind of stuff, they're actually designed to do the exact opposite. They're designed to take you from riches to rags. We do not want that to happen to you. So every week at this time, we have our estate tip of the week. So this week, we're going to go through the glossary. So let's get started. So here are some words that you may have heard that you wonder what they mean. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to go through this. So the first one is intestate. So intestate means that you died without a testament. And a testament is your will. So this is when you die without a will. Now, if you die without a will, the state that you are in has a will written for you. Okay? So they have one written already. It's just waiting to be used if you don't have one. My question...
Cool.
So let me ask you, do you think the one that you would write would be better and more apropos for your family than the one that the government writes for you? Which one do you think is going to be the most advantageous to your family versus the one advantageous to the state? Okay, I'll let you answer that question. Next thing is the grantor. So the grantor is the person making a gift. Okay, so if you make a gift, you're a grantor. The next one is trust. There are two kinds of trusts. There's a revocable trust, also known as a living trust. And what revocable means is that you can change it anytime you want, unlimited until you die. The thing is revocable. You can you can disband it if you wish. Now, there's also irrevocable, which means that it once you die, it cannot be changed. It becomes irrevocable in some cases, or it's irrevocable from the time that you drafted it, which means that it can't be changed once the words are written. So the words written do not allow for change. Now, keep in mind that if the words written say you can change it, then even though it's irrevocable, you can change it because the words that are irrevocable said that you can change it. Does that make sense? Lawyers are wonderful people. So you gotta be careful. It does not mean that you're cast in stone as long as you have the backdoor exit in the verbiage. The next thing that's kind of a crazy sounding term is perstirpes. Okay, so before you go getting your insulin shot, perstirpes means that the beneficiary is, if let's say you have three children, one of them passes, their third goes down to their family tree. Okay, that's called perstirpes. It continues down the family tree of that beneficiary. The other way is called per capita. Per capita means, capita in Latin means heads. So you count the heads. Right? So if you have three children, one of them dies, there's two left, then whatever's in there, the inheritance, is divided by two with the survivors. So that's what per capita means. So if you have three kids and you want each family tree to get that third, even if that person is not living, then you want to go with perstirpes. But if you want upon the death of any of them, the balance goes to the remaining people, that's called per capita. Okay? So those are just some terms for you to learn. I hope you took notes because there will be a test. But anyway, now you can impress your friends at the next cocktail party. You can tell the difference between per capita and per stirpes. Yeah, they'll think you are really smart.
I love you, man.
So, as I mentioned, our firm is Retirement Planners of America, and we have two goals for our wonderful clients. One of them is we want you to have financial peace of mind. We want you to enjoy what we call your second childhood without parental supervision. That's your retirement. We want you to go play, have fun, relax, and all of that. And the second thing, our second goal, is we want your money to last as long as you do.
Okay? Oh, dear. That's too wonderful to be true.
Oh, Dorothy, I love you back. So, those goals are ones that we worry about, we obsess about, and we work about. We do all that because that's what we want for you if you are a client. So if you'd like to learn more about us, our website is rpoa.com. And while you're there, we have videos and podcasts and articles, all kinds of information on when to take Social Security, how to sign up for Medicare, how to get income, reduce your income taxes, estate planning, all kinds of stuff. And if you are so inclined, we have resources available to you as well. You can watch webinars. We have some webinars there that I think you'll find of interest. You can sign up for a live seminar if that's your preference. You can sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners, and they'll sit down with you, help you design your retirement plan. No charge or obligation. If we can help you, fantastic. And if not, that's fine too. We will part friends. So go to our website and take advantage of all the resources and information that we have there for you. It's rpoa.com. Now, you know what? This show is over already. Are you kidding me? Wow, it went by quickly. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed doing it for you. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Is this the end?
Of course not. It's only the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morafe or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.